It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday for us. It is the day after. Helene, hope you are doing well. Hope that your family and your property and all those things are okay today. As the weather now, if you didn't know, you would have never known because it looks great outside.
Right.
It's going to be a great weekend.
It's always weird how the hurricane comes out and then whoosh, just sucks everything back up here. I saw some photos from folks down at Coney and everywhere else where you know things look great. I know that you and I were fretting. With good reason, because we got a lot of big trees by our house, and hopefully nothing hit your house or hit your car or anything else. But obviously, there's been some damage. The flooding was really kind of wild. I saw, see, like the Fox weather station guy was the dude who runs in. A lady was trapped in a car. He basically calls 911, goes and pulls her out of the car down by Peachtree Battle.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so there's, I mean, some, I mean, usually you see these guys, you're like, oh, here we, the obligatory out in the storm picture, and this guy actually went and did something. And I give credit to your boy, Jim Cantore. He didn't fret and pout when he found out that the storm was not going to hit him.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he gets upset where he's like, remember a couple of years ago, no, the eye is coming here. Actually, no, it made landfall about 30 miles south, Jim. I'm sorry, you're not going to be in the middle of the storm. But, yeah, and Steinhatchee, the little town I love, we're going down there fishing.
Stein?
They got clobbered. Yeah. Apparently, I've been mispronouncing it for like the last 17 years. But it's but anyway, I saw it last night on Weather Channel. It was Steinhatchee. I was like, okay. Nobody ever corrected me when I was in there.
Mm.
Then, of course, I know I can say, like, never walk into like that little fish place and go, nice to be here in Steinhatchee.
Correct.
But that little town in Big Bend, that whole area by Perry just got squished last night.
Yeah, it was, again, long night for many of us, but we hope you're doing well today. We got a lot more to get to. Kennington Smith's going to join us. He writes for The Athletic to talk about Alabama. Alabama and what they plan on doing against Georgia tomorrow night. Biggest game of the weekend, hands down. We've been looking forward to this game for like months. I mean, we've been talking about it, looking forward to it. I was saying to you guys months ago, this is the biggest game on their schedule, and that was before we knew Texas was going to be the number one team in the rankings. This game, simply because of what Georgia and Alabama means and what Alabama has done. Last year, they knocked you out of contention for a three-peat. That's it. You win that game, you're in the college football playoff, and maybe Georgia, Mike, is celebrating something unprecedented. Mm. But that did not happen. New season, new players. But some of these things are the same, man. And Jalen Milroe is still that dude. We're going to talk with Kennington coming up here in about 20 minutes. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Big O's behind the glass, our engineer. Glad our crew is okay as well, man. Big shout-out to Turtle. I know he was here last night, and all those guys, O was working late. So glad you guys made it home safe and no damage as well. Turtle is our executive producer. Big O, let's get to an NFL Blitz. Mike, while we were all worried about Helene, and rightfully so, some news dropped yesterday, and I'm not sure if people realize what that news is.
Yeah, man. Super Bowl 50, what are we up to now? 58? 53? 50? I've lost track. Anyway, it's going to be here in Atlanta. It's going to be 2028, February of 2028. The Sports Business Journal had it first. The owners do have to make an official vote on that, which they will do, but everyone seems to say that they are cool with us. It'll be 9 years since we last hosted the Super Bowl. 2019, that was that Rams when they beat the Saints on the no-call PI. And that was, if we're honest, a very lackluster Super Bowl. It was low scoring, not very entertaining, but it'll be 9 years between, and it'll be our fourth Super Bowl here in Atlanta. We had two, of course, at the Georgia Dome.
Can't wait. We say this. I think there should be just a few cities in rotation for the Super Bowl every year. I don't want to go to Minnesota. I don't want to go to New York. Okay?
Right.
I don't want to go to Detroit. Miami? Us, Dallas, Arizona, California. That's it. That's what I think, Mike. And they're not going to do that because these new stadiums get built. Nashville's about to get a new stadium for the Titans. They'll have it in a couple of years. The Raiders built their stadium. They're getting it. I understand that. But the reality is there's only a few places where you put these Super Bowls on, Mike. And you can go ahead and throw New Orleans in there as well. That it's fun. It's walkable. There are things to do. It's easy. And you don't have to spend $1 jillion.
Nope. And we'll be coming up. Think about this, guys. We'll have the World Cup here in 2026 with a couple of big matches, including, I believe, the semifinal. And then we'll have the Super Bowl 63. In case you're wondering, you mentioned it. New Orleans gets it this year. Then they go to Levi's Stadium. I'm never a big fan of that place out in California. And then 2027 is back at SoFi. So to your point, SoFi is going to get a lot. They'll be a lot in Vegas. And remember they said, well, we'll go back to Indianapolis. They haven't done that.
No.
Which is good because it can be 30 degrees out there or 30 below. But Nashville is one that I think, yeah, they'll, because it's so, to your point, centrally located, everything's so easy and walkable that it could be a destination. But anyway, Super Bowl 63 coming here in Feb of 28 to Mercedes-Benz.
Last night, the Cowboys, if you missed it, and I know many of you did simply because it was not your priority, but the game was a distraction for me, and it was me. Listen, Daniel Jones is not that good. But we know that. Giants can't run the football.
They couldn't run. I mean, how much regret are they having with Saquon Barkley? Missing him. They needed to move the chains last night. Malik Nabers was unbelievable. Set a record for the most receptions in the first four games in his career and then got knocked out of the game with a concussion.
Yeah, I thought the Cowboys would win the game. I think we kind of talked about this. I didn't know if they'd cover. Was it five and a half, whatever it was
last
night?
It was down to 4.5 at the end, Chris, or was it five? 5.5.
Okay. They won 20-15.
They didn't cover.
No. Let me hear Dak Prescott talking about the process of being complacent. Dak actually was pretty good. Daniel Jones, you know, 281, interception. He threw the ball 40 times. That team's dysfunctional. They got to find an answer to that position if they're going to stay with Brian Daboll, which is a whole other conversation. Here's Dak Prescott.
It was huge. It was huge. Yeah, after obviously losing two, especially at home. Coming on the road, first division game. Division wins are always tough. As I said, then you add on the road. Before a long weekend, puts a better taste in our mouth. But at the end of the day, as I've said, even after those two losses the past 2 weeks, it's a process. So we're not going to get complacent. We're not going to get overexcited about what we've done tonight. It's about building, and it's about figuring out what we can do better in all phases. But it's a lot easier to do that with the win.
Carl, I'm not scared about when we play Dallas, other than it'll be those idiot Cowboy fans that'll be here. But I'll tell you, they can't run the ball. The Giants and the Cowboys combined for 106 rushing yards total. Rico Dowdle.
Rico!
I mean, they couldn't get anything going. They even tried to use CeeDee Lamb a few times. He got blown up. You can see Brian Burns just nailed him in the backfield.
He did.
Couldn't get anything going. But the Giants were a one-man gang, and that guy was Malik Nabers for 115 yards, was just money. And Daniel Jones, just you don't trust him in the big moments. They also had some penalties. If you didn't see it, Al Michaels was talking about it. It was one of those games where it was insane. 15 penalties, much more for the Cowboys, but it just ground the game to a halt. It took almost an hour and almost just under 2 hours to play the first half, Carl. There were so many penalties.
Let me hear from Brian Daboll. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Here's the Giants head coach talking about his wide receiver production.
Yeah, I think he's doing some good things. You know, again, glad we have him. Thought Wandell did some good things for us tonight. The guys, when they got their other opportunities, yeah, I'm going to see him here. I hope he's okay.
Talking about Nabers, who again?
Yeah, Wandell Robinson was the other guy who stepped up, but Nabers, you need better help. You need better supporting cast.
Let's talk about what else is going on around the National Football League, Mike. That includes the conversation about what's going on with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Mahomes was asked this week about it. They just left here. Guys, we held him in check. He didn't do anything against us. I mean, he didn't have that 10 catch, two touchdown game.
They've got less pass rush against Patrick Mahomes for the first three games, and yet he's not throwing like a lot of folks expect him to be for the big-time Kansas City high-octane offense.
I agree, Mike. Here's Mahomes talking about trying to get Kelce the ball.
I feel like I want to get him the ball more, whereas he's just like, I just want to win, man. I don't care. Like, I'll run these routes and take guys with me so that other guys can get open. But we understand he's an important part of this offense, and we want to make sure that we're still featuring him. But at the same time, if defenses are going to take away him, I'll feed the ball to other guys and let them make plays.
So, listen, we know at some point he'll get going. I think his attitude is right. I heard him with his brother on the podcast. Maybe we played it earlier in the week, Turtle, where he said, you know what, I'm not worried about it. Okay, he's got the right attitude. I mean, he's not crying about it, but it's just weird. Like, this connection they have, and now I'm like, how many catches does he have? And by the way, he's killing fantasy owners.
Right, and a lot of folks feel that, you know, there's two arguments here. You know, yeah, he's an expensive decoy. That's not it. I mean, is Father Time catching up? Our team's just bracketing him so much, and their other receivers just aren't doing the work either way. I think they've got weapons. They certainly came out of the gate in that first game against the Ravens. Looked like they had guys who could step up and make plays downfield. But, yeah, is it just simply the wind down, which is inevitable for everyone? And he's taking the high road saying, look, we've got to be better. I've got to be better. But I'm not buying. Something's not right there.
Real quick, let's hear Andy Reid, because he was asked about the distractions. Mike, was there too much partying? Too much on stage?
It's going to be
I'm asking, was there too much on stage with Taylor?
Oh, that's silly.
Are they eating at these big, expensive restaurants? What about the distractions, Andy Reid?
He works his tail off, and he hasn't lost a step and all those things. He's not distracted. That's not the case. You know, people are making sure they have him taken care of by some of these defenses.
I've heard he's helping her write songs.
Oh, you stop it now. I mean, look, he won a Super Bowl with Taylor Swift as the girlfriend. I think he'll be okay. Long season. Same argument we're using for some of our guys. I mean, would you rather have Pitts or Travis Kelce right now?
I've heard he is in her costume closet going through what she's going to be wearing for her next concert. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, ever since he dressed like a total dork at the U.S. Open, he's not been good. If there is a fact, we cannot deny. Hey, by the way, A.J. Brown back on the practice field for the Eagles. They've got a rematch with that divisional playoff game where the Bucs just beat them like a drum last year and completed their total choke job. So the Eagles at Tampa Bay, that's a 1 o'clock game, but A.J. Brown looks like he's going to go. Keenan Allen, questionable. Roma Dunze is good to go for the Bears.
That's good.
Taking on the Rams this weekend.
They need him.
Fantasy owners. But Max Crosby and Devontae Adams are ruled out for the Raiders this week. And real quick, just make sure I got this right.
Maybe they made business decisions.
Cleveland coming to take on the Raiders. And so maybe this is a game where Deshaun Watson can do something. I don't know. Maybe he needs to get out of Ohio to get a win.
He's been terrible, by the way. I'm talking about Deshaun Watson.
I mean, it just doesn't work. And it's one of those, it's not that complicated. He's awful. The contract has been an albatross around their neck. And the team is actually pretty darn good, even with Myles Garrett dealing with a foot injury. They got a lot of studs on that team.
Yeah. NFL Blitz again brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. As we talk about these games that are going on this weekend outside of Falcons Saints, which we're spending a lot of time on, and rightfully so, Saints. The interesting thing is everybody's talking about the Steelers, and if they continue to win, Mike, will we see Russell Wilson?
I can't imagine why you'd overturn the apple cart. If you're getting what you want from Justin Fields, why mess with it?
I'm with you. It makes no sense.
You and I were talking about this today before the show. The only thing that could mess them up is if there's an injury to T.J. Watt or somebody, a big stud on the defense, where all of a sudden they got to play catch-up. I don't know the way Arthur Smith's running that offense. They could get down 10 points and come back and win.
Because they haven't had to. I mean, that's the thing. There will be a game this season where that will happen. We haven't seen it yet. And then does he take the limiters off? Does he say shotgun for the rest of the half and you just toss it around and make plays? I mean, like, that's what we haven't seen from them, but they haven't been in that situation.
And a lot of folks are saying, hey, fantasy owners, don't. I read like 6 articles from these different fantasy websites. Don't drop Anthony Richardson. He's going to figure it out. I dropped him.
6 picks, 3 touchdowns?
It's just not good. And I'm in a death struggle with Patchogue John in our league. Got a big matchup. So I'm rolling with Kyler Murray this week, and I picked up Sam Darnold.
No, that's a good pickup.
Look, if Richardson, I thought he'd be able to step in, but there's been some sophomore growing pains because, remember, he never had that full rookie season under his belt.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk Alabama because we have to. What are they planning on doing against the Dogs? What can they do? What is their strength? What is their weakness? Kennington Smith covers Alabama for The Athletic. We'll talk to him next. We got to talk dogs in Alabama, but we got to talk about the Alabama side of things. Kennington Smith is here with us. He writes for The Athletic, does a really good job of covering Alabama. Kennington, thanks for jumping on with us. We know the magnitude of this game, but, you know, there's some things we want to find out from you about this Alabama team. Now, Jalen Milroe, I think dog fans are familiar. We know he can be special. Tied his 3rd in scoring in the SEC, 5th in rushing, and that's the thing I want to talk about. They're running the ball well, which is giving them an opportunity to do some other things, and they're not relying on Jalen Milroe to have to throw it around the yard. Talk about this transition with Kalen DeBoer in this offense and Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest questions of the offseason was how was Jalen Milroe going to fit in this Kalen DeBoer offense, which is drastically different than what they did at Washington. At Washington, they were throwing the ball the majority of the time. Michael Penix had a lot on his shoulders. I think he came into a situation at Alabama where he realized that he had much more talented runners than he had when he was at Washington. So what you're seeing is a diversified run game of running backs, Jalen Milroe getting a chance to run the ball, which for as good of an athlete as he was or he is, he didn't run the ball a lot last year. That was not a big part of Alabama's offense. It just felt like free yards that they were kind of leaving on the board, and they've really leaned into that. They're not afraid to run Jalen Milroe, so you're seeing Alabama run the ball at a much more effective clip than last year. And then off of that, that big playability throwing the ball down the field is still there. Jalen Milroe has the most touchdown passes in college football of more than 20 yards. Alabama has the most touchdowns in America of more than 20 yards. So this is the most explosive offense in the country right now. He's at the center of it. And that's going to be the challenge for Georgia is not only stopping Jalen Milroe, the runner, but stopping everything else that Bama does running the ball and then also defending the deep ball down the field as well.
You know, Ken, we were talking about this off the air. I mean, with Georgia's injuries, and it's still listed as game time for Jordan Hall and, more importantly, Mykel Williams, it just seems like they couldn't get Milroe. They couldn't stop him last year in the SEC championship. And now Justice Hayes and Jam Miller, these guys are just, killing it. Do you feel that Alabama's going to be able to win the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's trending. And they won the line of scrimmage battle last year when this group on Georgia was at full tilt. Now you have Alabama's offensive line. They're fully healthy for the first time this year. Their defensive line, I think, has taken a really big jump. And I think that's probably the most surprising thing about Alabama this year is how their defensive line and their front is able to affect the game without really blitzing or bringing any additional pressure. So you look at both sides of the line of scrimmage. That was an area that Alabama won last year. Georgia's really beat up on the defensive line. Tate Rattledge is not going to go on the offensive line. That's Georgia's best offensive lineman. So a disadvantage for Georgia, and that's something that they're going to have to figure out if they're going to keep pacing this game.
Kennington Smith joining us, talking about Alabama and Georgia tomorrow night, guys. He writes for The Athletic as we get what's going on with the Tide here. What about the preparation? Both teams had time off. The Dogs have won their past 21 games, and they had more than a week to prepare. What did you think, and what are you hearing about the prep with the Crimson Tide having that same time off? We know if Nick Saban had that time off, it was going to be an issue.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the same thing with Kalen DeBoer. This is somebody who's very meticulous, somebody who's known as being very processed, very detailed-oriented. I think it was good for Alabama from a health perspective. Kind of unlike Georgia, Alabama's bye week allowed for their team to get healthy, and this is going to be the first game all year where all scholarship players for Alabama are going to be available at one time. So you take that into consideration. I'm going to go back to the offensive line. The first three games of the year was a different offensive line combination in that front five. This is going to be the first game where they're going to start the same line back-to-back. So I think the bye week, most importantly for Alabama, was about that offensive line getting in sync. If you're looking at Alabama in the first 3 weeks, that's the biggest area that you look to for weakness is the offensive line and how they're going to be able to protect Jalen Milroe against the pass and cut down on penalties. So this bye week was really beneficial, I think, for that group to continue to gain chemistry. And I think for Georgia, on the other side of it, you have to look at that extra time in terms of how are they going to defend Jalen Milroe. Last year, it felt like a little bit more of a passive approach. They were spying multiple guys. They really weren't going after him. They wanted to keep him contained in the pocket. And statistically, they did a good job, but Milroe was still able to find a way to win the game, obviously. So what are they going to do in the round two of Jalen Milroe? Are they going to get after him a little bit more? Are they going to continue to kind of have this conservative approach? What is going to be the game plan? And as we've seen with Georgia and kind of these dynamic quarterbacks, when they have a second opportunity to face them, they tend to do pretty well. You think about how they kind of changed things up with Bryce Young a couple years ago, SEC championship to national championship. So that's going to be the chess match I'll be watching out for.
Talk about man. I love his Twitter handle, Carl, from The Athletic. It is at Skinny Kenny _. Hey, man, speaking of, you might be skinny, and this kid is young. He won't be 18 until next February. This Ryan Williams story is just bananas. And you could take Georgia's top two wide receivers, actually almost three, and they don't add up to the numbers this kid's putting up as far as touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, this is a generational prospect, and I think this is an opportunity for the nation at large to get a chance to know who Ryan Williams is. But people in Alabama have known about him for a long time. This is somebody who was the first ever sophomore in the state of Alabama to win Mr. Football. You think about all the great players that have come through the state of Alabama. No one has done that. He did it, won it again as a junior, reclassified, and now he's at Alabama. And it's early in his career, obviously, but he feels like a Julio Jones to Nick Saban type of prospect where he bought into Alabama at a time where there were people kind of jumping ship on Alabama. The shift of Saban to DeBoer, people leaving, people entering the transfer portal not knowing if they were going to commit to the program. Ryan Williams decided to stay committed to Alabama. Obviously, it's paying off right now, and I think that's going to be something that we look to down the line if Kalen DeBoer continues to sustain this excellence as a historic moment kind of in this new tenure. And you watch him on the field. He's 17 in age, but he doesn't look 17. I mean, nobody's been able to cover him yet. And it'll be really interesting to see how Georgia plays him because I think this game is going to come down to explosive plays. And Alabama has that in Ryan Williams. It seems like they always kind of have that receiver. Who is going to be that guy from Georgia that's going to be able to kind of go band for band with him?
Alabama, by the way, Williams leads the team 285 yards, receiving four touchdowns. That's 28.5 yards per reception. That's eighth highest in FBS. He's special. Kennington, I want to ask you about the Heisman. If Jalen has a big game against Georgia, is he the front runner at that point for the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like if he's not, he should be at the forefront of the conversation right now. He has the most touchdowns in college football. He only has one turnover, and it came on a fumbled snap, so he hasn't thrown any interceptions. He is running the ball at a much higher clip. We're seeing him, his yards per carry is up, his rushing touchdowns, his rushing yardage. He's still throwing the ball down the field. And this is going to be, you know, kind of like the first opportunity for guys to kind of have these Heisman moments. Like, we've seen, obviously, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders at Colorado, but this is like the first game of the year where it's like two heavyweights kind of going at it. There's going to be a lot of attention on this game. So this does feel like a moment for Jalen Milroe to kind of put himself at the forefront of the Heisman conversation. And I think even taking it another step forward, this is an opportunity for him to validate himself on an NFL level. Mm-hmm. There are questions about his accuracy or his intermediate passing game or his processing or this and that. You go up against Georgia for a second time. You have another good game. You win against them a second time. All of a sudden, you know, some of those questions about his aptitude as a quarterback at the next level start to quiet down some.
I mean, the explosive play is what, you know, makes him so special. And Georgia, you know, basically stops those explosive plays. This is kind of an abstract question, Kenny, but run with it. Who's got more pressure on him? Because, you know, we know that Kirby has not beat, you know, Alabama very much. 1-5 against Saban. But I could imagine some Alabama fans would lose their minds if the first time DeBoer goes up against Kirby, he loses. So who's got more pressure?
Yeah, I would say Georgia has more pressure, and I think it's from a couple of different angles. Like, you're mentioning the Alabama aspect of it, and it's kind of been a question going back to last year of who is the standard bearer in the sport. And there were people that thought that Georgia had kind of taken that mantle after winning two championships in a row. And then Alabama kind of reasserts their dominance in the SEC championship. But Nick Saban retiring has kind of shifted how we think about these teams. Georgia has moved into the forefront. Alabama has seemingly taken a step back without Nick Saban. So there's pressure on Georgia to win the game from that aspect. But you look at it from a college football playoff SEC championship perspective, Georgia drops this one to Alabama. Do you have more or less confidence that they're going to go into Austin and win?
No.
Do you have more or less confidence that they're going to beat Tennessee? Do you have more or less confidence that they're going to beat Ole Miss? Because those three teams that I named look the same, if not better, than their preseason expectations. Like, those teams are exactly who we thought they were going to be, or maybe even a little bit better. So you look at Georgia's schedule moving forward, and you start to say to yourself, okay, there are some games on here that we penciled in as wins that we might have to think about in a different light depending on how they play against Bama. So obviously there's pressure on Alabama to win. I think it's more internal, though. I think the fans don't expect much of a drop-off, and they expect them to win. I think externally, nationally, if Alabama were to lose, I don't think it would be some sweeping indictment on Kalen DeBoer. So there's pressure on both sides, but I think from a micro level and a macro level, there's definitely more pressure on Georgia.
All right, Kennington, before we let you go, and he does a great job of covering the you know, Bama and football, and check him out with the Athletic guys. How much is Saban around? Does he have an earpiece? Like, what are we talking about when we say he's got an office, he's aware of what's going on? Like, do you see him? What's the deal with Saban as far as his connection to the program, or is this like a red phone somewhere and he has access?
Yeah, it's kind of like the latter. He is more of a sounding board. He's somebody that the coaches can rely on for a resource. I think Kane Womack, the defensive coordinator, has kind of tapped on him the most. They talk about defense a lot. They talk about football a lot. And obviously, he's a resource as somebody who recruited this roster. So just kind of tapping on his shoulder to answer certain questions. And he is in the facility some, mainly to kind of get treatment from Jeff Allen and stuff like that. But he's not really in the forefront a lot, and he's not around too much. Obviously, he's traveling with College Game Day. He has his foundation. He's playing golf a lot. So he's not around, you know, every single second day to day, but he's somebody that has a presence in the building, certainly. And it's been a pretty seamless transition. I think it's hard for somebody of his status that's had that much control and that much power and that much acclaim to just seemingly step away and let somebody else run the show. But he seemed to have done that, and he obviously has a place to where he can kind of be a part of the program, and his voice can be heard whenever they allow him to do so or want him to do so. So it's been a pretty smooth transition, and it doesn't happen like this everywhere. You know, as we all know, we've seen in college, there are other places where transitions aren't as smooth as this. So he still has a presence, but it's not like, you know, he's in the box or he's kind of having this overarching voice overriding certain decisions. He's more so just being used as a resource.
Okay. It's a great answer because everybody's wondering, and you're there, and you're talking to these guys. I think everybody feels like, you know, he's got this secret line. Hey, man, we appreciate you stopping by. Looking forward to a great game. The key, you say, is explosive plays. That's because Bama's leading the country in that area.
Yeah, Bama's leading the country in explosive plays. Georgia has only allowed two plays of 20 yards mm-hmm. or more on defense this year, haven't allowed a touchdown. So it's kind of like unstoppable force meets a movable object.
Great point.
All right, man. We're all waiting to see if Mykal Williams and Jordan Hall can go, because you need this defense to step up. Thanks, Kenny.
You do.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Great stuff, brother. Appreciate you stopping by. This is why this is going to be a very interesting game. And by the way, let's just say this. Mike, if they have a couple of these plays early on and that crowd's into it.
Well, I mean, I was talking about this. I'm not trying to tick off Georgia fans. I'm just saying Ryan Williams has been, like, unbelievable. You know, he talked about it, 285 yards and four touchdowns. Now, the argument, and we said this yesterday, unless Georgia just been sandbagging with Lovett and Smith and Bell, okay. But, I mean, if this is the time, if Bobo is ready to release the hounds, we've got to have those kind of, like, the big-time play from Georgia on offense. Just got to have it.
Guys, did you hear Mike call him a game manager?
He did.
That's what I heard him say.
I need Trevor Etienne to be an explosive piece in this game, baby.
I am calling Turtle.
Carson Beck a bum. I did not. See, again, now that's audio that has been. That's totally been doctored.
You said it, Mike.
That's totally been doctored.
You've said it.
I am calling Carson Beck a bum. And by the way, now that's it, because if Florida State continues to tank, I won't be allowed to go to Sanford Stadium. They'll stop me at the gate.
Well, you did say these things.
Again, this is nonsense, and this will not stand. This naked aggression.
Yeah, man, no man's coming up next.
I am calling Turtle. Carson Beck a bum.
Well, I guess he's not going to play. D-Led had a picture. D-Led, you had a picture of Caleb McGarry about an hour ago saying you thought he was going to play.
Yeah, the caption read, Caleb McGarry back at practice today. Not included was the photo of him walking on his hands, which might have been a tell that something was wrong with the lower extremities.
So, yeah, Caleb McGarry is now out. So, Saints are out two offensive linemen. We're out two offensive linemen. So, I would imagine Storm Norton steps in along with a noozle. And there you go, baby. But
who's going to make a play, man? Who's going to make a play for us? Who's going to step up and get this thing rolling?
You know, you realize, I said it to you earlier, we lose this game, Chris and Carl. We're 0-3 at home.
Don't say that.
To start the season, which nobody had on their bingo card.
Don't say that. Mike, yes, they are without Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz. They're two best offensive linemen. We still have Lindstrom and Jake. But the McGarry thing is interesting because, again, the practice thing on Friday. Now, here's the irony. Bijan Robinson practiced, shoulder. Matthew Judon, I told you, don't play my emotions, mm-hmm. Matthew, practiced. They're good to go for Sunday. McGarry, not so much. All right, more on this coming up. You're going to hear our interview also talking college football with our guy Danny Cannell coming up at 4 o'clock. Stay right there. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on, man? You're safe, sound? You're doing all right after last night, huh?
Yeah, everybody was good in my household. Rafa was freaking out a little bit. He didn't like the high rain coming down against the windows. He was putting his little paw up against the window trying to tap away the rain. But we made it.
Good.
And we're all in good spirits. Hope everybody out there is as well. Somebody who's in good spirits this weekend is going to be College Game Day's guest picker. They have made it official, and I'll let you hear from her herself.
Hi, Alabama fans. It's Miss Terry. As you know, College Game Day is coming to Tuscaloosa this Saturday for the Georgia-Alabama game, and I'm excited to be the guest picker. So we need all Crimson Tide fans to come to Denny Chimes Saturday morning. I've already been working on my picks, and I think I'm going to beat Nick. I'll see you there. Roll Tide.
Very that's cool. Great. Everyone, yeah, you like give her more of a speaking part. I think that's great. I think that's awesome. And everyone knows about how she is behind every great man, there's a great woman, and she is her.
Yeah, very, very cool. I'm glad that they're doing this tandem thing. By the way, Nick Saban's really good on TV. For those who are wondering or maybe haven't watched.
Sure as hell, better than anything that his buddy Belichick does.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I am, too.
Yes, he's really good. I'll say this, too. I love the fact that they're doing this. But can I be honest with you guys? I'd be spending a lot of time at that beach house. I have no idea. Like, Miss Terry, you've done this your entire life.
Well, beach house, lake house,
I'm just telling you.
Condo.
Like, well, when are you guys going to be there? I guess football is so in their blood that they have to be a part of this. And it's a big game. I get it. And this is what Nick is doing. But I'm like, when are you guys at this $30 million beach house that you have? It is unbelievable.
Summer's over, Carl. It's football season.
Whatever.
Come on now. Get in the game.
They can't.
So you can ask the bottle.
But
don't ask me.
Mike, my guess is she'll probably pick, I don't know, Alabama.
I mean, I'm glad. I think, you know, we talked to Barbara Dooley each week, and you guys love her, and she's an absolute treasure. But again, we've heard so many stories. It's finally cool to really give her an extended speaking part. That's great.
Yeah, I think she's going to crush it, personally.
And by the way, Georgia fans, guys, we're not making this an Alabama love-in, okay? We're just telling you what's happening on College Game Day. Send your complaint letters to ESPN. Some of these Georgia fans are in their fields today. Yeah, after our last segment.
They wouldn't be if you said their quarterback was a game manager.
All right, I am calling Turtle. Carson Becker Bummy. Milrow, SEC championship, 2 touchdowns passing. Beck, 0. Okay?
Yeah.
That'll have to change. Coming up Saturday. Back to you, Chris. We're stealing your segment.
All right.
I think he's a game manager. Yeah, and by the way, they have twisted this audio so much. This is like Primary Colors when they're supposed to be like Bill Clinton. It's like, hey, what are you wearing right now? Remember Travolta? And they twist the tape. How dare you?
Turtle.
Carson Becker Bummy.
By the way, great movie. Good call. Great movie. All right, Turtle, go ahead.
If the game was in Athens, they should consider
Kirby's wife?
Yeah. No.
Who, Barbara?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I agree.
Our favorite.
Yes, I totally agree.
All right. He's going after his own. And I don't know how I feel about this. Jeff Passan, baseball's number one insider and reporter, is openly attacking the game that he loves so much.
Mm.
Quote, "It's a shame how difficult it is for consumers to access our product. And when that product is literally everything you have, what does it say about the way you're treating a fan? The respect level you have for the people who want to pay you, who want to watch this sport. And if you aren't going out of your way, bending over backwards to absolutely fire hose it into their homes, into their phone, into everything, it's a wasted opportunity." So Jeff Passan basically saying that if baseball doesn't get these TV deals figured out,
right. They
are essentially screwing themselves. And that was on the SI Media part.
It's true. I mean, the NHL went through this when cable was in its infancy and you took the product off of over-air television. And I know now we have streaming and everything else, but it's just, I'm with him. Baseball, they've got a major problem in too many big markets, small markets too, for that matter. But how do you grow the sport if you can't find it? Right?
You're right, Mike. I'm just thinking about the next wave. We're going to have Steve Coonan on, Hawks CEO. Believe it or not, camp starts for our Hawks next week. Media Day is Monday, and it's back to the grind as they get ready for the upcoming season. Preseason games, early October, we're there. But the NBA, they did it right. And whether you like it or not, Mike, their new media deal is incredible.
I mean,
they're making tons of money. Right. They're on a bunch of different platforms. They're doing it right. I'm hoping, to Jeff Passan's point, that MLB understands that and their folks get it right for MLB and the growth of the sport.
Right. I mean, the perfect idea would be MLB puts together their own network and comes up with a nice price point, but they'll never do that. They'll never do that.
That would be too easy, Mike.
Correct. And then, plus, they're too greedy.
All right, guys, real quick, after these storms have passed, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. We cooking anything?
I was just telling Carl during the break. I mean, I'd like to give you more imagine. I probably do the same. I know Friday for Catholics, you're supposed to eat fish, Carl. Not supposed to eat red meat. But anyway, it's a gigantic ribeye from the Cleveland Cork down there in Sharpsburg. And Becky's got a big filet, and I got some cream corn and some. They do the pre-made stuff just like our buddies do at Buckhead Butcher Shop.
Yeah.
So I got all the pre-made stuff. Just got to warm it up, and we're good to go.
That's cool. When I went up to the Bourbon Fest a few weeks back, I had burgoo. And a burgo, should I say. It was amazing. And I told the lady at the time, I said, I want to make this. And she said, well, honey, you can make it however you want. Now, the crazy thing is, like, originally the Kentucky burgo was a burgo, was Mike. I think they told me squirrels and whatever you could find.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. What's in this? And she was like, brisket and pork and chicken. So I think I'm going to try and do one.
So beef in a bowl?
It's got more stuff than that.
Okay.
Celery, peppers. There's a bunch of different things.
I was about to say, Carl, I know what that is, but I don't think Oren knows what that is. So maybe explain it to him.
Yeah, no, it's basically, to Mike's point, you pick your meat. Okay, and it has a variety of other ingredients depending on your taste profile. So you can put in there, as you know, as I said, peppers. Mm. You know, there's different things you can add: hot sauce, Worcestershire sauce. It depends on what you want, but the base of it is meat, lima beans, corn, and whatever else you want to add. It is really good, and so I'm going to do that this weekend just to try it because, you know, as the weather cools off a little bit, it's going to be nice this weekend. It's not going to be cold, but this is something that I want to try and do a couple of different recipes.
You know who used to have it? Chris, is Empire State still open as you walk home every day? It's on the corner of 10th and Peachtree. I don't know if I've been out of Midtown for like 4 years now, but they
I'm not sure.
They did the beef bourguignon in the copper kettle pot. Oh my god, yeah, man, that thing was money. Baby.
Well, I'm gonna slow cook everything, so I'll send a picture out and let you see what it looks like. But it's you can make it to whatever you want it to taste like.
Oren says it's kaput, so Empire State's knocked out of the box out there.
All right. But that's what we're doing, man.
Right.
Hey, and by the way, send your picks, by the way, guys. We know you're tailgating, having fun. If you're going to Alabama, Georgia, whatever, Dukes and Bell 929, we put those back on our Instagram. So make sure you send those.
All right, Oren, go catch me a squirrel and hit my music.
The lady told me that, literally. She was like, you know, it originally started with whatever you could find. So I was like, turtle? No, not you, turtle. Like, well, turtle, squirrel, whatever.
Squidbilly's uncle does it with possum.
Possum? Yeah. I was like, I'm good. I want this brisket that you've got. Hey, man, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. Danny Cannell stopped by. We talked to him about this big game tomorrow night. And does he think the U is for real? Find out what he says coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.